This afternoon we will study together Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 10. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Verse 9. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this afternoon we will be discussing the few important factors that the Lord has informed us through Matthew chapter 4. Now, when Jesus was tempted into the wilderness, in verse 1, when he had fasted for 40 days and nights and he was hungry, this is the moment of time that the tempter came. I shall read verse 1 to verse 3 again. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. My dearly beloved, Satan, our enemy, loved to tempt the children of God in a moment when they're weakest, not when they're strongest. Likewise, in here, if you note, our Lord Jesus, it is at this point of time, was very hungry because he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And as a result, the tempter, the devil, comes through and tempted him when he was physically needing food. Likewise, today, the power of darkness, when he tempts God's children, each and every one of us who are born again of the Spirit of God, he tempts us in the same manner. If you are unbeliever, you will experience the same thing. Of course, if you are unbeliever, you do not have the Holy Spirit to assist you and to remind you. Well, born again children of God, we have the Holy Spirit that indwell in our heart, and the Holy Spirit will inform us in the moment when the power of darkness comes through. And the Amplified Bible tells us the devil comes to tempt us in the most favorable time, when we are physically exhausted, when we are physically hungry, when we are physically without things that we need, isn't it? You see, some people are tempted when they have no money. I remember vividly, we had a brother in Christ years ago in my church in Singapore. He was a very poor young man. He had no money, not much money. So one day he went for shopping, and the voice of the power of darkness tempted his heart to steal something. Because he was poor, he was not able to afford to buy good stuff, you know, good clothing and so on. So the voice of the power of darkness tempted him and told him to steal. However, because he had the voice of the Holy Spirit in his heart and he was a born-again Christian, he witnessed in the church and told every one of us his story. And he said, you know, the devil was about to tempt me to steal those things because I loved them. I wanted to buy them. However, remember, there was the voice of the Lord and the Lord's instruction that it is a sin to steal. So he was able to overcome that temptation. Now, my dearly beloved, that's exactly how the devil behaves. Now, I want to put one special notice for you. In verse 1, Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The word wilderness here is extremely important for every one of God's children to pay attention on. Because if you notice it, all of the prophets of the Lord, including our Lord Jesus himself, he came out from wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not come out from seminaries. Moses is the same thing. Moses was put in the wilderness for 40 years before he came out to serve the Lord God and brought the whole tribes of Israel out of Egypt. Likewise, the Apostle Paul, who graduated probably or very likely from the seminaries because he was from a sect of the Pharisees, and he went probably to the very best of the very best, like he mentioned, of the seminaries. And so he came out from the seminaries in order to go into the wilderness of Arabia. And he had to throw away all the head knowledge from the seminaries and got into the wilderness where the revelations from our Lord Jesus Christ himself was being given to him before he came out to serve the living God. In other words, you cannot go into a seminary and expect to receive all the spiritual knowledge and be able to serve the living God. It does not work that way, my dearly beloved. Many, many times, especially in these modern seminaries, their intention is good. In other words, hoping to be able to train the servant of a living God. However, I can tell you many, many seminaries are teaching a lot of stuff that do not belong to the Bible. Many of them are liberal theology. They teach you a lot of unbelief stuff. And as a result, many people who would like to serve the Lord God, by the time they come through, that seminaries decided to quit on the Lord Jesus instead because what they teach is demonic. And so I am not saying that head knowledge is bad, but head knowledge alone is not the spiritual knowledge. You see, if you look at the Word of God very carefully, the carnal mind, as the Apostle Paul says, is enmity with God. And it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8, the Apostle Paul mentioned to them. You cannot learn using the carnal mind and extract the spiritual knowledge just by reading or dissecting in school. You see, for that reason, if you notice very carefully, all the servants of the living God, especially those prophets, even Prophet Elijah, they all come through from wilderness. And our Lord Jesus himself also come through from wilderness. My dearly beloved, the head knowledge of the Word of God is not the real spiritual knowledge. You have to go through war, spiritual warfare, and experience growth in our life, in our spiritual life, before it can be transferred from the head into the heart, into a real testimony, before we can grow in the spirit, you see. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, for the natural man, the things of the spirit are foolishness. It doesn't make sense because our carnal mind cannot absorb the things of the spirit. For example, a fish in the water trying to figure out from another fish and try to study another fish is not the same as studying a human being that lives in the air, isn't it? For that reason, our carnal mind is enmity with God. We cannot and will not comprehend the things of the Spirit. Now verse 4 says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My dearly beloved, as Christians, it is without question. Just like unbelievers, we have to face day-to-day living and survival, isn't it? However, being a Christian, there's a huge, big difference. Because our Lord God is our Heavenly Father. And our Lord God promised us through His words in Matthew chapter 6, not to worry what to eat, what to wear. All of these things are sought after by the Gentiles, by the heathen. Let me read Matthew chapter 6 for you. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord's instructions is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is without question that we do need our physical food, isn't it? That is understood. And our Heavenly Father knows our need, just like our Lord Jesus mentioned. Don't worry what to eat, what to wear. You see, unlike the heathen, the unbelievers, they don't have a Heavenly Father to protect them. But we have our Heavenly Father to protect us the very moment we are born again of the Spirit of God. The very moment we are connected through our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, as we accept Him and His death on the cross as a full payment of our sin debt, automatically the Holy Spirit began to indwell in our heart and we become God's children. Now, once we have our Heavenly Father as our dad, we don't have to worry at all about our physical needs. Because our Lord Jesus already mentioned, as I read earlier, don't worry what to eat, what to wear. You see? For your Heavenly Father knows your need. For that reason, our Lord Jesus mentioned in here, against the voice of the power of darkness and his temptation. When the power of darkness demanded and tempted our Lord Jesus for food, because our Lord Jesus is in a flesh form, and he was hungry, of course, at that point of time. But our Lord Jesus, in verse 4, replied, and he said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but more importantly, of course, is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, yes, there's no question we do need our physical food, but what is much more of greater importance is following the instructions and being obedient to the word of God. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us our fleshly needs, our temporal needs, it is nothing or amount to nothing when it is compared to eternity. It is like a drop of water and probably an ocean of water, isn't it? For that reason, we must never forget that whenever the power of darkness comes to tempt us about the things of mammon, the things of the temporal, we must remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is very sad to note that many, many born-again Christians and even pastors and those in a spiritual leadership role, they falter and fell into the traps of Satan, of the things of temporal, such as mammon, such as money. You see, many, many born-again Christians not only are struggling, trying to make money, but what makes it worse is the very fact that they began to covet mammon. Likewise, there are many, many pastors out there and preachers that have faltered into the things of mammon. You see, there are some preachers out there. They write the books for Jesus and begin to sell them for millions and millions of dollars, and proclaiming that it is the blessings of the Lord, when in actual fact, that is merchandising, a commercializing Jesus Christ. You see, every preacher must realize that the books that is written belongs to the Lord God. It does not belong to them personally. Of course, they are the servant of the Lord God, instructed by the Holy Spirit to write those books. But genuine servants cannot take credit for those they have done on themselves, purely for themselves, by the millions and millions of dollars. I understand that they have to be paid their fair share. Just like the Apostle Paul mentioned, yes, those that labors on the field, they cannot be muzzled, isn't it, in their mouth. They're allowed to eat. Of course, it is only fair to look after the servants of a living God and give them their proper wages or salaries. It is only right. However, there are some false prophets out there that merchandise Jesus Christ by selling whatever they wrote for millions and millions of dollars and took it for their personal gain and their personal use in the name of blessings. That is a lie of Satan, my dearly beloved. That is a false prophet. Every single thing that is done must be done according to the word of God. Our Lord Jesus tells us, freely receive, freely give. My dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ sets us an example by being a homeless person. In other words, he's trying to teach us something here. When our Lord Jesus Christ died, he had nothing with him. And when he heals many, many people that are ill or sick, and of course, even the blind can see, the lame can walk, and the dead can come back to life, he did not cover one penny out of it, did he? Did he charge any money? No, he doesn't. And so, from the scripture, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, he was penniless. Now, being his student, it is written that we are not greater than our master, is it? If they have persecuted our Lord Jesus Christ and we are his disciples, we will also suffer the same thing. You see, we are his disciples and we must follow his footstep. Of course, if the Lord bless you materially because you labor in your own hands, there is nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that you have to be poor and very, very poor. I'm not saying that. The word of God does tells us in Deuteronomy 28, in fact, that if we walk in obedience, blessings will come to us. What I'm trying to say for those servants of the Lord that walk in the footstep of the master, we must pay close attention that we must not be controlled by the things of mammon. In other words, that our heart must be filled with the love of Jesus, is not with the things of mammon. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said in verse 4 that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, our heart and mindset is not on mammon-centered, but rather on Christ-centered. You see, that is very important, because what Satan, the enemy, is trying to do is to replace the love of Jesus that is within our heart with the love for mammon, and of course, the love of others. And as a result, we worship the idol, spiritual idol. You see, you don't have to physically be a Buddhist or be a Hindu or be some other religion where you actually physically worship an idol. Of course, that itself is a sin, but spiritual idol is the same thing. If we worship anything in our heart, whether it is beauty, whether it is money, whether it is cars, whatever they may be, if you uplift them in your heart and your mind all day long is centered on it, then Satan has hooked your foot and caused you to worship the idol, spiritual idol, and you have fallen into the sin of idolatry, spiritual idolatry. Now, verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, my dearly beloved, Satan has many, many tricks and deceptions to deceive each and every one of his children, isn't it? If he cannot tempt you with money and other things and trap you so that you worship him, then here comes another trick that he has up his sleeves. You see, he's like a magician. He can make you be confused so that you don't know what is right and what is wrong. And if verse 6 and here, he realized he could not overcome the Son of God, which is our Lord himself, with bread, with physical needs. So next, he decided to use the Word of God. You see, the devil knows the scripture. And of course, he trembled and knows that the Lord God will judge him someday. He's very well aware of that. And as a result, he quotes the scripture and uses the scripture to trap our Lord Jesus. But if you note very carefully, the word that he used is partial. It is a discounted word of God. It's not the whole complete truth of the word of God. He twisted and turned it around because he's a spirit of lies and a spirit of craftiness. Now mark my word. Here he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, my dearly beloved, there is something missing in this verse, because the original verse is written in Psalm 91, verse 11, and I shall read that verse for you. Instead of saying, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Psalm 91, verse 11, I read, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the phrase, to keep thee in all thy ways, is missing, my dearly beloved. And as a result, the meaning is twisted and turned to be two totally different meaning. You see, originally, Psalm 91 was written by King David. And I shall read from verse 9 again, all the way through to verse 12. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see, originally, King David wrote this, as we walk and obey the Lord God. And he says right here, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You see, as we abide in Christ Jesus, in other words, as we walk in obedience, there shall no evil befall on us, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Then he said, of course, for he shall give his angel charge over thee. You see, the Lord God gives us the angels in order to keep each and every one of us in all his ways. So, in other words, the angels are given to us to protect us in order for us to obey and walk in absolute obedience to the Lord God. And of course, in verse 12, then it says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, if you remove the phrase to keep thee in all thy ways, that is absolutely disastrous, my dearly beloved, because what Satan is trying to say right here, look, if you just go ahead and jump down, even out of disobedience, then he said the Lord God will protect you. Is that true? Not at all. That is absolute lie of Satan. You see, the word of God tells us that we must constantly abide in Christ Jesus. We must never, never leave the canopy of abiding in Christ Jesus. If we leave the canopy of abiding in Christ Jesus and decided to walk away from God, the Lord God is not able to protect you. On the contrary, the roaring lion, which is Satan himself, will come and bite you. You see, you are not under the protection of the canopy of Christ Jesus. For that reason, we must constantly abide in Christ Jesus. If you abide outside of Christ, emotionally, you feel very stressful, you feel very fearful, and you feel very nervous, anxious. Those feelings tell you that you are abiding outside of Christ. And here comes the liar, the devil. He will come and he began to maul you and give you all kind of gifts in your head, and you fall into Satan's trap. That is very dangerous, you see. For that reason, we must return and run quickly in the canopy of abiding in Christ Jesus. In other words, to know whether you are living or abiding in Christ Jesus, you must look at your emotion. If emotionally you do not have peace, you do not have faith, then you need to quickly repent of the fear or the sins that you have committed and ask the blood of Jesus to wash you clean and run back and confess your sins until peace is restored in your heart. And the moment peace is restored in your heart, automatically the Holy Spirit indwells in your heart and the angels are there to watch over you. But if you decided to walk away from God and falter in sin, then there is no way that God will protect you, you see, because you're abiding outside of the word of God that says you must abide in me. For that reason, the power of darkness lies and say, well, you can do whatever you want and go ahead and jump down from the cliff and God will protect you. That is called absolute foolishness. Nowadays, Satan does the same thing to many, many churches and denominations. And it is sad to notice that there are false prophets. There are many, many false prophets out there, whether it is out of Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, that twisted and turned the truth of the Word of God into a lies of Satan and take some part and modify it. And they have deceived many, many people to believe in them because many people do not read the scripture. They prefer to hear somebody else talking instead of reading the Word of God for themselves. And that is very dangerous, my dearly beloved. It is very, very important for each and every one of God's children to invest their time studying the scripture very carefully and reading it. And of course, the Holy Spirit will lead us and help us to be able to comprehend the Word of God. You see, it is very important for us to focus on His words. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. My dearly beloved, there are many, many Christians who do not understand truth. And many times they tempt the Lord thy God. You see, many times they think that if they're praying for something out of covetousness, that God will answer the prayer. My dearly beloved, it is very important for us to pay attention that God will not answer our prayer when we covet in our heart. You see, when we covet in our heart, we have faltered into the state of sin, a sin of idolatry, and of course, abiding outside of Christ. God cannot answer our prayer in that condition, in a sinful state. And so, as God's children, do not tempt the Lord thy God in the sense that, well, God, I want you to give me $1,000,000 or I want you to give me $10,000 and pray for it. That is tempting the Lord thy God. And the Lord God obviously cannot and will not listen to that kind of prayer. You see, we have to be able to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and abiding in Christ before God can hear our prayer, and our prayer can only be answered on the conditions that it follows the Word of God. There are four conditions that you must remember before God can answer your prayers. Number one, you must abide in Christ Jesus. When you abide in him, means you must be rid of your sins and be repented of your sins. And allow the Holy Spirit to come through in your heart. When you repent of your sins and confess your sins, you will feel in your heart extreme peace, or at least peace and faith will be restored. As you abide in him, there are four things that you must remember. The four laws of grace tells us that we must remember that we can pray anything as long as it glorifies God. And we can ask anything as long as it edifies ourselves. And we can ask anything as long as it edifies somebody else. And of course, we must not be controlled by it. If you put these four laws as a screener, you can ask anything and petition anything before the throne of grace. Otherwise, if you ask for to get a lottery, to win, say, maybe a $1 million lottery, it is not going to happen. And if you pray, then you are tempting the Lord thy God. Is that clear? Now, the next important things that we must pay attention is what Satan has offered. You see, Satan has offered each and every one of God's children many, many temptations. If money does not work, well, he'll give you something else. Some people are attracted to perhaps material things. And of course, money would mean position. It would mean having big houses. It would mean having expensive cars. And all the carnal things, you see. And so for that reason, Satan wants us to worship him. But the Lord tells us, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. My dearly beloved, let me ask you questions. Are you currently being tempted by the power of darkness in your heart and struggling to overcome it? Do you think all day long for a woman, for a girlfriend, or perhaps for a position, for money, lots of money, or something else? You see, all of those things are the attractions that Satan can offer you when you worship Satan. You see, but if you worship Satan, then you cannot walk with our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus tells us that we must only worship the Lord our God. If you decided that you wanted to worship something else, of course, many times when Satan comes to tempt you, you probably are not conscious about it. You see, there are some people out there that falter into extramarital affairs. You see, when they start off, it was not intentional. Satan offers probably somebody coming along your way, and you become to be very friendly with that person, isn't it? And before long, as you share your emotion with them, you got entangled emotionally. And of course, before long, you falter into fornications and adulteries. That's exactly how Satan works. And not only born-again Christians would falter into that kind of sin, even those as pastors, they also falter into that. For that reason, we must be wise. Wise as a serpent and meek as a dove, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us. We must be cautious not to worship these things and be alert spiritually. We must come before the throne of grace every morning, noon at night, just like Prophet Daniel, and read the word of God. Spend time in the wilderness, be close to him, so that once we have our alert system up as we come close before the Lord God and memorize his scripture, the word of God, his promises, and put on the shield of faith, the sword of the word of God, against the power of darkness, so that when Satan sends his darts in our head and gives us all kind of temptations in our heart and our mind, I pray that you would be able to stick out the shield of faith and the sword of the word of God and fight back. My dearly beloved, the power of darkness is extremely nasty. For that reason, as God's children, we must practice godliness. There are some places out there that you should not be there, and you must totally avoid those places. And there are something that we should not see, you must totally also avoid those things that are not good spiritually. Avoid those things that are evil, avoid those things that create the lust of the eyes, especially pornography, or bad movies, stuff like that. We must remove and delete those things from our life and walk with the Lord God, because the Holy Spirit that indwells us is holy. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must present our body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1. My dearly beloved, it is very, very important for God's children to continuously practice godliness. Because as we practice godliness, our alert system is up. And when the devil, the power of darkness, sends a dart in our head, we would not falter into it. We would be alert. If you don't practice separating unto righteousness, just like the Apostle Paul tells us, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed with the renewing of our mind. When we conform to this world, we lost the strength of godliness, and we will not be able to receive the strength to journey the path of the cross. And we become drunken spiritually. And when the power of darkness gets across to us by sending us gifts in our head, we falter right down to the bottom. And also for those people that would like to go out with unbelievers who are full with sins and the power of darkness surrounding them, that is bad. In other words, if you have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and they rejected Jesus Christ intentionally and do not want to worship the Lord our God, then it is time to separate from them. Because when we join them, the power of darkness in that body can infiltrate to your body, believe it or not. I have seen many, many cases like that. And as a result, instead of you pulling them to Christ Jesus, you being pulled down by them into the world. So my dearly beloved, pay attention to those relationships, such as bad influences, bad friends, those in drugs and drinking. Until unless you are filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit to invite them to Christ Jesus, it is best to avoid them. You see, the Holy Spirit that indwells us is holy, and our body is a temple of God. We must pay attention that we do not go around people. For example, there are some people, they worship a lot of idols. And if you go around that people that worship the idols, then the spirit from that person that is power of darkness, especially the Buddhist idol, I've experienced this, it is very powerful. And those spirits can come over into our body and transmit that power of darkness, and you will get confused. You see, I have experienced like that. My nephew had a case like that. And the power of darkness gets from a man that is worshipping a Buddhist idol. And before long, you discover that the spirit from that man passed on to him. And of course, not only unto him, also unto me. And so when he get confused, I also get confused. And of course, praise God, because I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. The Holy Spirit unveiled where it came from. Now, my dearly beloved, I want to leave you behind with two powerful testimonies for you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is the most awesome dad we have in the whole universe. You see, we don't have to worry what to eat, what to wear, for our Heavenly Father knows our need. I want to share with you one precious testimony from Miss Esther Wong, my spiritual teacher. When she was in absolute need of money, she did not worry about it. She did not call anybody for help or ask for loan or things like that. All she did was coming before the throne of grace and pray because she needed $300. For whatever reason, the $300 is what she required. So she went on her knees to pray that morning. And she told me her story. And she remarked, she said, that morning when I kneeled before the throne of grace and asked God to provide his Jehovah Jireh, our Lord God is our Jehovah Jireh, is a God of Jehovah Jireh. In other words, Jehovah Jireh means spiritually, he is our provider. He provides our needs. So Miss Esther Wang knelt on her knees and prayed for $300. And at the end of the day, during the evening time, there was a knock on the door, and Pastor Chow, who co-labored with her, did not know her needs. However, Pastor Chow passed an envelope to her, and as she opened that envelope, behold, it was exactly $300 for her needs. My dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is absolutely merciful to His children. He knows our needs. There are times that He would stretch our faith. Yes, there are times that we must meet difficulties in order to push us before the throne of grace and cry before Him, in order for us to begin knowing our Daddy. Our Heavenly Father is a merciful Heavenly Father. My dearly beloved, if you have financial needs, you can come before the throne of grace and confess your sins first. Repent of it and ask the precious blood of Jesus to wash each and every one of those sins. And as you cry before Him, as you're being cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus and be made holy by His precious blood, the Lord will hear the prayer of a righteous man. We become righteous, you see, by the precious blood of Jesus. Not because we are good, no. It is the precious blood of Jesus that sanctifies us. And of course, the truth of the Word of God sanctifies us. For that reason, we must abide in Him and confess each and every one of our sins and then petition. And I can guarantee you, if you petition by faith, do not be afraid, only believe. If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe, our Lord Jesus says. Mark 5:36. And so when you petition by faith, I can guarantee you, as you keep on knocking, as long as it is a legitimate request, God will answer your prayer. Remember, as I mentioned earlier, every single prayer must be done on the basis of the four laws of grace I mentioned earlier. It must glorify God. It must benefit you spiritually and, of course, physically. It must benefit others and not be controlled by it. If you ask something outside of that, it would not be answered, my dearly beloved, because that is against the Word of God. You see, if you ask for something like big lottery, it would not be answered. That is done out of covetousness. You see, it is not a need. Those are sins. Now, the second testimony I want to share with you comes from a servant of a living God that lives in the island of Sumatra. Very precious testimony. Now we know the story of the tsunami that hits the island of Sumatra at one time and killed hundreds of thousands of people. Now this precious testimony was shared with me as I went to the island of Sumatra to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here goes the story. The pastor's wife is a sheep of the Lord. And the Lord God was about to send a tsunami in the island of Sumatra, the northern part of Sumatra, that has killed hundreds of thousands of people. And at that point of them, they were in a church in the area where the tsunami is about to hit them. So at night, the Lord appeared to this sister in Christ Jesus and told her, "You need to leave this area because I'm about to destroy this area with my finger, you see." In other words, the word that was given to her in the Indonesian language is to use the middle finger to hit a marble. In other words, to destroy the area. You see, when God wants to destroy, it's a very simple thing to destroy. But nonetheless, the Lord God loves the sister and the whole church, obviously. And the church is under much persecution in the past, and they're not able to worship because these people a hardcore Muslim. They persecute the church and they persecute the Christians. So as a result, tickle is up. In other words, the sins are calculated in heaven, obviously, and it's time to destroy them. And so the vision was given to the sister that she must leave the low-lying areas where the tsunami is going to come and go to the top of the mountain. The Lord says, go up as high up as you can. So they decided to move up to the mountaintop, and there is inside that a cave. And so they worship inside the cave and stay there. Believe it or not, on the Christmas day, as they worship together for the Christmas celebrations, by the time they came out from that celebration, when they looked down, believe it or not, they can see hundreds of thousands of dead bodies everywhere. My dearly beloved, our Lord God is a God who is our protector. You see, when we become his children, our Lord God is out there to protect us constantly. We don't have to be worried about that. We don't have to be afraid about that, you see. And so the word of God in Psalm 34 tells us, King David said, Psalm 34, I read from verse 7 to verse 10. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. My dearly beloved, just like this sister who is being protected from the tsunami, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivereth them, isn't it? You see, we have angels beside. Every single one of the sheep of the Lord has got angels reporting day and night to our Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus tells us through his words. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Indeed, in our life journey along the path of the cross, we face many, many danger and difficulties. However, our Lord God is always faithful. He knows of our needs, whether it is material needs, whether it is in terms of danger that is coming across to our life. All of these things are all being watched over by our Heavenly Father. So don't you ever worry about your needs. If you have material needs, you need to come before the throne of grace, confess your sins, and petition for help. And if you have any other tribulations, you can always come before the throne of grace petitioning. And believe it or not, the Lord God already knows what you are going through. So do not be anxious. But in everything, the Apostle Paul says, always give thanks. Now, my dearly beloved, the last things I would like to share with you is his precious promises. Remember, the Lord God wants each and every one of us to be victorious and to bloom much fruit, you see. Now, John 15:16 is my favorite verse, simply because this is the aim of each and every one of God's children daily, monthly, yearly, and of course, until we meet him face to face, isn't it? I shall read this verse for you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see, don't forget to abide in him, because when we abide in him, we bear much fruit, our Lord Jesus said. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. John 15. So the main purpose for our Heavenly Father to surround us with all of this tribulation is in order for us to experience him, in order for us to be able to abide in him, and of course, in order for us to be fruitful, you see. And John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And ultimately, as we bear much fruit, without question, we will always uplift our Lord and glorify him, isn't it? That's the main purpose why he chose us and why we are here, isn't it? And finally, it is very important to remember that as God's children, we must always be victorious. Apart from bearing the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, we must be victorious also against all the temptations of the power of darkness. Well, perhaps you might say, that is extremely difficult. Well, I will put it for you this way. Apart from abiding in him, we could do nothing. That is correct. In other words, you cannot use your flesh to try to produce the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. We must learn to abide in him constantly. And it is the Holy Spirit that ultimately bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit as we choose to abide in him. However, it is our choice to refuse the temptation, and we must remember his promises. And finally, my dearly beloved, the Lord tells us, Revelation 21 says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My dearly beloved, we cannot afford to walk in our flesh, isn't it? We must walk in the Spirit, because the Word of God tells us, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and the warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is very important for each and every one of us to continue abiding in Christ Jesus and be victorious. You see, as our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us. Furthermore, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you to remember to worship the Lord, our God, and to serve him only, and also to remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but more importantly, by every single word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.